further down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust.
Welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM, WKWXFM.com and the WKWX app. We appreciate you tuning in on a beautiful Saturday morning. Couldn't be a better Saturday morning. The Tigers get a playoff win last night in round one. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kendall Atkinson. Kirk has succumbed to the pressure of playoff football last night. Let's just say he's MIA. He has texted me, though. Coach Smith will be in a few minutes. We'll talk to him about last night's contest between the Tigers and the Blue Devils. Well, the Tigers survived and advanced. And in the playoffs, that's all that matters. Hardin County, for the second week, had to put a late second drive together, a late minute drive, I guess, to win a game. This week, the Tigers did it against White House, defeating the Blue Devils 29-22. Hardin County moves to round two, and White House season comes to an end. So, Kendall, last night, another thriller at Jim Carroll Stadium. There's a lot to kind of unpack in that ball game, a lot of different things that happen in that ball game. Some good for the Tigers, some not so good. Having to overcome a lot of adversity, I guess, in that game. And then we saw a kid step up and kind of take it by the reins and put it on my shoulders, and let's see what I can do.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of different ups and downs, mentally, physically, times where we were rolling like we've seen here in the regular season where offense is clicking on all cylinders, and then times where – it's almost like we kind of hit a wall and stall out. And so I think it was one of those games that it's like you said, round one of the playoffs, a win's a win, you move on to the next. But definitely some things to iron out this upcoming week in practice. And I think it just speaks volumes about the chemistry of our team. Despite that adversity, we're able to rebound pretty well and pull out a first-round win.
Yeah, and we went up against a team that – was a pretty good team. They were well coached. They had a good scheme. They showed us a lot of different things offensively last night. I don't think they did really anything exotic defensively, but offensively, we seen a lot. And they had some success. I think they wanted to run the ball. They didn't run the ball particularly well last night. They got a couple of big plays, but other than that, I mean, up front, and our linebackers, we knew that our linebackers were going to have to be active last night, and they were. Now, what they did make us do, they put our linebackers in coverage a lot last night.
Yeah, and I mean, they kind of stuck to their guns in regards to the past couple weeks just based off film. They can spread things out. They'll go power eye. They'll go some wildcat. I don't think it helped with their workhorse running back being a little bit gimpy with that ankle injury, but I mean he still scored a touchdown and was pretty effective. But it's one thing I was talking to my dad last night after the game was over, and I said our linebackers had a really good ball game, and of course our defensive line, Adam Harris and Tayshawn, they both had good games as well, and our defensive ends had good games. So I think it was all around. They tried to control the time of possession, which I had a good sense that was what they were going to set out to do. Because they'd failed to do so against Marshall County and Pearl Cone earlier in the year. And it's one of those deals where if they get behind, it's like they're scratching and clawing, trying to exhaust every option to play catch-up. And so that was their objective, and they did a pretty good job of it. And they had some playmakers there that really kept things close.
Yeah, they had a really good quarterback. He played most of the game. That was Hayes, a senior. You could tell
he wanted it.
He's been in some games, and he kind of had that demeanor. I was kind of watching him in the huddle and stuff, talking to his teammates and things like that. He made some plays last night, kind of just ad lib, and you know, running around and trying to trying to get his team in good positions. And then I say the same for us, though. 23 seniors. You can see that, you know, we've played teams before. I remember going a couple of years ago going over to Montgomery Central. They hadn't had a whole lot of success in football. I don't know. I think at that time that might have been the first time in ever or first time in years that they had been in the playoffs, period. But when we got over there, you see all the seniors lined up on the fence, you know, they got the pitchers. And I think that at that time they had 19 or 20. We were a little young at that time. And they ended up winning the game late like we did last night, which that senior leadership in tight games like that is a big difference, yeah. Especially when you got one that's at that quarterback spot.
Well, I mean, you got two anchors on both sides of the ball. You got Carter on the offensive side and Adam Harris on the defensive side. And like I said, this adversity that we faced 2 weeks in a row now, it just makes it so much easier to manage when you have that leadership. And, I mean, it's one of those deals where you either lead by example or vocally or whatever the case may be. But we've turned it around two straight weeks and really, you know, the biggest thing is we pulled out a win last night, made it to round two, so.
Well, this should be an interesting sports talk because we've got coach and we've got player.
Ex-player.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll have to officiate this deal here because things the tide has turned.
I don't think I'll meet Kirk's standards.
Well, yeah. Well, if you can ask a 5-minute question and answer it all at the same time, you can. But bless him, he's a little under the weather after last night. But Coach Smith is in. We'll talk to him here in just a few minutes. Also, a little bit later on, we'll look at some scores from last night. We'll tell you who's ahead for Hardin County. And then also have a look at the SEC schedule. All that's coming your way. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kendall Atkinson, Coach Smith joining in. But first, real quick, congratulations to senior Jacob Castillo for coming in 39th place out of a field of 259 runners yesterday. He finished in the top 15% of the meet in Hendersonville. And what a special day for him and what an outstanding achievement for Jacob. And we want to wish him the best of luck and congratulations on that's a state tournament meet, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that was a state cross-country meet, and we're extremely proud of him and all he's done. You know, he works extremely hard. Coach Peyton Ewalt, Coach Dion Ewalt are our cross-country coaches, and they really work with our kids well. You'll see them running all around town, and heck, I've seen Jacob driving, you know, 64 coming back from Waynesboro or something. He's out by the rock crusher, I mean, running, and he puts a lot of time in, so we're extremely proud of him and his accomplishments this year.
If you see me doing that, pick me up.
I'm pretty sure I won't see you doing that.
That's what I'm saying. If you see me doing that.
Unless somebody's chasing me.
Somebody's chasing me. Pick me up, please. But anyway, congratulations to Jacob. And we've mentioned this several times. And you know, you being the AD, you know this. Man, we've had a lot of success in a lot of sports at Hardin County High School for quite some time. And we try to get it all on, but the success that teams are having and other sports that are building programs and things like that is exciting to see. Not only that, there's a lot of kids that are involved in sports in some way.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have up close to 350 student-athletes at the high school that are involved in extracurricular activities and, you know, got a great, great group of coaches, assistant coaches there that put a lot of time and effort into their programs and work extremely hard and really blessed in Hardin County.
Well, Matthew, last night, round one of the playoffs, you get the 10-0 regular season, and then a whole different season starts as White House comes to town last night. And one of the things that we talked about in the pregame is they play in a really competitive region, probably a little bit more competitive than ours. They got more teams number one to navigate through. And they were a 6-4 team coming in and finished fourth. And that's pretty good when you got a 6-4 team that's finished fourth. And a couple of their losses were to the top two teams.
Well, yeah, they had, you know, obviously Pearl's the top-ranked team in 4A, and they had Marshall County's very good. Lost to them. Upperman on the other side, on the eastern side, is one of the top-ranked teams over there, and I think it was 28-14 with them. Our coaches actually went to that game and scouted that game. So, we knew White House was a good football team, well-coached football team, disciplined football team. They would have a good game plan. They, as you saw last night, probably did more stuff personnel-wise offensively than any team we've played this year, and caused us to have to try to match, you know, personnel groupings and those kinds of things. Defensively, they brought more what I call exotic-type pressures and twist stunts up front and ran more games than any team that we've seen throughout the year. So they did a lot of things schematically. Had some good football players there, played hard, played with great effort. And, you know, that's playoff football. You're going to two teams at battle, and, you know, the life of your team is on the line. And, you know, extremely proud of our kids for – we did not play our cleanest game, certainly, but finding a way in the end to win the game.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess the question is, when you get into the playoffs, you're playing teams that you don't see or really pay attention to all season long. So how quickly do you have to get all this process turned around, get a game plan together, and then work on that with your team against a team that you go, okay, here's our tendencies, but, you know, as we've seen throughout the season, things change come game time?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, teams in our district that we play every year, Lexington, those Northside, those type of teams, I mean, you have a you're more familiar with them, obviously, and their schemes and what they're trying to do and how they adjust things and those type of deals. But, you know, White House, I think we played White House Heritage a few years ago, which is a different school located in Sumner County right by them, but didn't know a lot about them, certainly, but I'd seen them on film and seen the battle that they'd had in these games against very good teams. And, you know, it's a playoffs. The bottom half is out and, you know, the top half is in the playoffs and there's good teams in it. So there's it's going to be a battle each and every week.
Yeah. Well, and of course, and you talk about scheme and whatnot and defensively what they did different, added a few things in, I'm sure, for our game last night. But on the offensive side of the ball, too, they give you several different looks you've got to account for. I know watching the Pearl game, when they played Pearl, 31 was a little bit more involved. I think that was because number one had been kind of banged up, and we saw him last night still nursing that ankle injury. But, you know, I feel like once we really got into them, they felt like they a little bit more pressure to throw the football, which, you know, in my personal opinion is not their preference, but their quarterback did a really good job of, you know, prolonging those plays and drawing things out and making plays. And so I guess my question is, when it presents a challenge from an offensive standpoint and the same thing happens from the defense, how much do we implement both sides of the ball throughout this week of prep leading up until last night? Do we change things up or kind of just stick to our guns and keep rolling what we've been doing?
Well, certainly. I mean, we had some, you know, plays that we thought, you know, that we're going to use to try to take advantage of what they do. They played defensively. They played more man coverage than we'd seen probably in the last several weeks, for sure. Lexington was mostly all zone coverage, and they were in your face, two-man. They did more last night of kind of switching routes than they had done on film. So quarterback's got to process that and see that during the course of the game. Biggest thing they did, and they didn't bring more than five, but the twist game that they had and how they were bringing their defensive linemen, walking backers up, showing backers from depth and bringing them off the edges, those types of things. They did a lot of that, and you got to be very good in adjusting your protections and picking those pressures up. Offensively, for them, they probably more than any, you know, in high school football, usually you get a personnel adjustment or formation, and they kind of stay in that for the entire series. White House did more of it play after play, right, and sending different personnel groupings on the field, more of a college style,
right,
game plan for them. And so we had to be very sharp defensively of having our personnel and matching what they were putting on the field. So, you know, and I thought our defense did a good job. Our staff, guys in the box, really helped us last night with that, and we were able to get our groupings on the field.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. We're talking to Coach Matthew Smith about last night's game with White House. The Tigers win it on a late touchdown, 29-22 at Jim Carroll Stadium. And then also coming up in just a bit, we'll get you set for next Friday night as round two begins at Jim Carroll Stadium. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kendall Atkinson and Matthew Smith. Matthew, last night, White House came out, wanted the football first, and wanted to kind of, I guess, establish some kind of drive, and they did. And I think probably their objective was kind of like Lexington, long sustained drive, keep us off the field. We're more of a team of big plays. We can drive the ball if we have to, but we make a lot of big plays. But do you think that's kind of what their MO was last night?
I really think, you know, the last couple of weeks, and you can kind of see that, taking all the play clock, you know, the referees got the hand up and it's ticking down, and teams are definitely trying to control the ball on us and take the clock. I think, you know, we had three drives in the first half, and that's all we got. In the Lexington game 2 weeks ago, I think we had 14 plays in the first half, and that was all we had. So you can definitely see that as part of a game plan the last couple of weeks. And, you know, White House was able to pick up a couple first downs. We certainly busted a couple times and gave them, you know, big plays that we shouldn't have given up. We had a busted coverage defensively on a play that we'd granted, we hadn't really seen them run on film, a little bootleg throwback, and lost track of the point guy of the bunch formation going down the field up on us. So, you know, we certainly got plenty to clean up, but, you know, looking back at the film last night, this morning, offensively, first two drives, we get touchdowns, score there, and then the third one there, we kind of hurt ourselves more than, you know, with penalties and negative play, getting behind the sticks, and overcame it a couple times in that drive, but, you know, couldn't finish it off with the score.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, the first two drives of the first half, we put up points, and, you know, there on the third drive, we do make some self-inflicted mistakes. It kind of hurt us. But how much does that change when you think about, like, offensive play calling? Obviously, the first two drives, we're rolling and doing everything we want to, and we're kind of feeling out what they're going to do defensively. But then we put ourselves behind the sticks. And, of course, from your standpoint, how much does that change, okay, when it comes to, you know, passing game, rushing game, when we're behind the sticks? Does that change your kind of the outlook on what you set up for the offense to do?
Well, it does. And I thought, you know, in those first two drives, when we could stay ahead of the chains, we were able to control the line of scrimmage and get the run game going, which was able to we were able to set up some passes off of that. And, you know, they play, and we knew it, they played two-man coverage a lot. They would show two-man, blitz an outside, and roll the safety down to take his place. Quite a bit, but two-man is one of the toughest coverages to throw into. I mean, you got man underneath, you got two high safeties back there, and their safeties were pretty good. You know, we had watched them all week, and they'd had a number of picks, got in position to make a lot of plays there, especially in the deep throwing game. So I knew the underneath stuff was going to be contested catches because they were tight press man there. You know, the script is to run the football when you get two-man coverage, and we were able to do that in the first couple of drives. Now, get behind the sticks, have negative plays, it kind of takes your run game out somewhat, and certainly made it more difficult.
Yeah, and I think one thing too, certainly from my just back when I played, you always think when you're behind the sticks on maybe long second, third down, that you have to get more vertical than anything. But really wasn't – I mean, it's like we just talked about off the air. Carter's having to fit some balls in some tight windows because their coverage is pretty good. Saunders bust several plays there on long – second long to really get us in a good position on third down, third and seven, third and eight. And, there in the first half, we were able to pretty much capitalize on that despite, not touching the football many times there in the first half. Because, like we've been talking about, time of possession was kind of swayed in their favor. I think that's another thing, too, that makes it a little bit more difficult, especially when you're thrown out of rhythm by, let's just say, penalties or negative plays. When you're not able to touch the football more often, it puts a little bit – it has to add a little bit more pressure when it comes to that offensive scheme, I guess you would say.
Yeah, you certainly want to make your drives count and finish with points there when you know the game is going to be shortened there. So it does put an added sense of pressure on you to try to finish those drives off.
All right, let's take a real quick timeout as we're kind of short on time this week. We got to get out of here by 10. Matthew is itching to get out of here and get set for the game.
I believe you're the one that told me.
All right, was that my fault? You're going to put that on me?
So.
All right. we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more sports talk after this.
They got a lot of nice girls. I'm racing.
Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM on this beautiful Saturday morning as we work our way to the 10 o'clock hour. We'll be broadcasting live from Prime House Steaks, located at the Tractor Supply, or in the Tractor Supply parking lot on Water Street. Go out there and visit us. We'll be there from 10 to 11 today, pushing steaks and making dreams come true out at Prime House Steaks. And then coming up at 11 o'clock, it's UConn and Tennessee as the Ball Network will take over from Knoxville, Tennessee. So that's all coming your way. And I hope you enjoyed Sports, Coast to Coach that came on before us. They do an outstanding job of breaking down the SEC and breaking down Tennessee games as well. And we're breaking down last night's game with Coach Matthew Smith. And, Coach, we've talked about this a lot this season, the ability. And it may be because we've got 23 seniors and we got seniors in key positions that's seen a lot of football, but the ability to overcome adversity during a game, overcome third and longs, overcome penalties, is maybe the most amazing thing that I've seen all year. It's hard to overcome that each and every week. And I'm not saying it happens each and every week, but there's times that, seems like in big games when you're playing really good teams, you're going to be behind the sticks some. You're going to have things come, and we just seem to overcome that. We don't panic and make the plays that are necessary to get us to a first down or even a touchdown.
Well, I think this team, has a great grit about them. And they fight. They play all 48 minutes of the game. Bad things happen to them. And they seem to come back and not let it affect them the next play. And I think that's a big, in our culture today, I think that's not the most common thing. A lot of times bad things happen and you get down on yourself and that kind of thing. And, this team has been able to be the opposite of that and fight and claw. And we've won a number of close games this year, Giles County, way back in week two, comes to mind. I mean, it was a gritty game. They had the lead in the second half, found a way to win that one with two scores in the second half. And, the Haywood game, the Lexington game, last night's game, certainly. And There's been a number of them, and you know, 10-0, 11-0, that's a tough thing, and there's a lot of pressure with that. And this team has found a way to you know, keep playing and keep battling and be in the moment, and really not look at the scoreboard until the end and it's over, and have found a way to get it done.
Well, and I think, too, last night we kind of talked about opening kickoff. They wanted to set the tone early. Defense comes up big. And then we kind of have a little bit of a back and forth there with our offense and their offense putting up points. And then we eventually go into half 14-10. But it was almost a little bit of a vibe of, well, you know, we should be up at least, you know, 10, 14 points. And then you talk about this adversity we battle. We come out of half and – Cam really makes a good play, just trying to extend the play. Unfortunately, gets stripped, and then there we find ourselves, and you know, making things a little bit more hard on us. And I think it was, as you saw how the game played out, leadership factored in more last night, late in that second half, than I think it has all year. And I think it has to do with your son at quarterback too. So, just kind of a testament of when you have a team like this with this deep of leadership, it's going to carry you out of the depths, I guess you would say. And we've seen that the past 2 weeks.
Well, you need strong leadership in times of adversity. You know, right. When you're running the clock on people and things are going good and all that kind of stuff, that's not when leadership shows up. Leadership shows up when things are adverse, things are not going well. And, you know, I think about several kids on our team that have shown great leadership qualities throughout the year. Adam Harris, certainly. Carter Durbin, man, he was all over the field last night. He led us in tackles. He's somewhere up around 12, 15 tackles last night. I mean, he was flying around.
A big sack, too.
Big sack there for us. You know, Carter certainly made some plays. Cam came up with a huge
sure
fourth
did.
Down catch, you know, for us and found a way just to go up and make a play there when the season's on the line, really. You
yeah,
know, and
literally.
And so I'm very proud with the kids on the team and the leadership they've shown. Hayden Tidwell is another one flying around the field. So we got a number of them, man, it's been a joy to watch them and coach them this year.
Well, that game was a lot like the Lexington game. I'm sitting here looking at the scoring plays as we got late into the quarter or into the second half. But, you know, we were up trailing 16-14. Then we put a 12-play drive together, and then we go up 21-16. A proud moment for you, son-to-son for a touchdown. I think Corb's first touchdown as a varsity player on the reception in the end zone.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, Ryan Weeks, our starting H-back tight end, he separated his shoulder last week, and he's worked real hard rehab this week and tried to get ready, couldn't practice very much because of it. And, you know, they really kind of cleared him to play last night, but just because of lack of practice and coming off that injury, we're hoping we can get him back this week and in this round. But, you know, Corb had to step up. We played a lot of what we call zero personnel with actually true four wide receiver set on the field last night, which certainly changes our run game up. We don't have the H-back tight end in there as a blocker. And, you know, I thought Corb was able to step in and do some things for us last night, and certainly made a big catch there. But again, you know, it's football and it takes everybody. And Kendall and I were talking about this off air. It's a little pick play that we had, can't really call it a pick play, but a rub play that we had designed there.
It's legal.
Man coverage. And Jack and London both did an excellent job of running their routes and, you know, getting in the way of Corb's man, and it was good protection. Jake picked up one coming off the edge there to give Carter time to throw the ball, and we were able to get that score, which is a big score.
Yeah, it was a big score. But, you know, White House, they come back, 12 plays, 64 yards. They go in on fourth down from 2 yards out. We find ourselves down 22-21. They kind of messed up the two-point conversion, had a penalty or may, and then they
threw
had
two
a
forward passes
two
there,
forward passes
which
too
loss of down as
so
well.
that cost them there. And then the Tigers come right back and ended up going in. Carter goes in after the play you're talking about earlier on fourth down play in the grasp of a defensive lineman too. And, you know, a 50-50 ball, Cam makes a play. And then Carter takes it in from 5 yards out. We get the two-point conversion. And that two-point conversion was big because, yeah. I mean, Cam had it. He had a defender draped all over him, caught it at about the 2 yard line, and just muscled it in.
Yeah, and you know, really great job there of him getting the ball in the end zone. He's a strong guy, and you know, wanted to get the ball in his hands there. Just had a one of Kendall's favorite plays, old 63 shoot there. Right. It's an easy read for quarterback,
yeah, it's
and just
quick.
ball out of your hand. And Cam did a great job of getting that 2-point conversion there. But you know, the fourth down play. And we'd had the timeout there right before. I think we'd had a big quarterback draw run to move the ball down there. And you know, we had said, it's fourth down, got to get the ball out there. I mean, even if you got to throw it up. And Cam did a great job of getting off coverage there because the coverage was pretty tight initially. Carter scrambled a little bit and had to get the ball out off his back foot. And Cam just went up and made a heck of a play there.
Well, I mean, there's two seniors right there, and their season's on the line.
Right.
And, you know, the whole game and it was tough, and wasn't a thing of beauty by no means. But, you know, they say they're not drawing pictures. It's all about numbers at the end of the, you know, and you being on the right side of that number on the scoreboard, and right now, it's just survive and advance and survive and advance. And that's kind of where we are. Every team's going to get better. The further you go, the better they get.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, congratulations on the win last night. Do you have any more you want to?
No, I mean, the thing is right there on that 2-point conversion, if there was a penalty, I think that it could have been more of a positive than a negative. At least it gave him Cam a little bit more room to work that slant route, and just a great catch. I mean, and honestly too, it just added a little bit more comfort to their last drive, and our defense came up big and kept them from moving the ball. And it's like Steve said, survive in advance. It doesn't matter how it looked, we're on to round two. So
that's right. Let's take a look at scores from last night. Pearl Cone defeated Lexington 42-2. Station Camp came back and defeated South Gibson 24-20. And Marshall County, our next opponent, defeated Northside 52-18. On the other side, Haywood 44, Kirby nothing. Millington 38, Crockett County 34. Dyer County, an old foe, 40. And Craigmont 6. And Melrose 49. And O'Brien 6. And I saw that score and looked at Brett and I said, looks like Melrose is on their way back. They're won their eighth game of the year.
Well, I'd seen them on film, I think, when we played East, maybe, scouted them. And they I don't know that they're as good of years past that Hardin County remembers, but they're definitely a much-improved football team, for sure.
Yeah, so Marshall County coming to town. Tell us a little bit about what we know about them. I know they won their ninth game. They've ended up the season 8-2. One of the losses was to Pearl Cone. I think it was like 41-17, something like that.
Well, they're a good football team, good program. I think, we matched up with them 2 years ago in the playoffs here. It's when Carter was a sophomore, Caden, Seth, and that group of guys were seniors. And, you know, they've got a good program. Marshall County's been strong traditionally. Program, they're good this year. Got a good quarterback, throws the ball around well. We certainly have got to improve on things this week in practice, but, good round two football game.
Injury-wise, I guess Tanner's out indefinitely. And that's kind of been that's been a tough loss, really. You know, you look at kids that kind of quietly do their jobs and things like that, but defensively, that was a big blow.
Yeah, Sam's been a great player for us, played a lot of football, you know, really sophomore through senior year, and certainly hated that for him in the Haywood game, but it was a torn ACL, and you know, he's not going to get to play again, but he's still a leader on our team, still has a role on our team, still a captain for us, and But just certainly hate that he's not out there with us on the field. But, you know, hopefully we're able to get a couple guys back and can be as healthy as we can be going into this round.
Yeah, that's what my next question was. We came out pretty good after last night, as far as you know.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Good deal. Matthew, I appreciate you coming in. Sorry about being short on time, but you probably won't go watch film anyway. And so we're going to let you do that, and we got to get out of here in a few minutes. But congratulations winning your 11th game, defeating White House 29-22. We'll be there, same thing, next week, 7 o'clock kickoff. I'm sure the tickets will be the same thing. You can buy them at the gate or online.
Sent an email last night. I think they go on sale on GoFan maybe Sunday at 1, 2, something like that. So you can pre-buy your tickets online. I think it's $8 plus the fee, we will have the cash box at the gate as well. There'll be $10 there. You know, TSSAA sets all those prices and rules for the playoffs, but they will be on sale at the gate as well.
All right, the Tiger Walk at 5:55. Tiger tailgate party starts around 5. That's back in the north end zone around the cafeteria, and then we'll be on the air at 6:30 with the pregame show. And then the kickoff set for 7 p.m. right here on 93.5 FM and be Hardin County and Marshall County. Round 2 of the playoffs next week. We invite you to come out and see some playoff football. It is a tremendous thing to watch, exciting, and this team has been fun to watch this year. Matthew, appreciate you coming in on this Saturday morning, and hope you have a great rest of your Saturday, and go watch some film and get us a win next week.
Same to you, Steve. Yeah. Hope you have a great day as well, and thanks for having me.
All righty then. All right, we'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll look at the SEC schedule and then tell you what's ahead for the rest of our sports afternoon on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Coming up at 10, we'll be live at Prime House Steaks. Ashton will be out there and be selling steaks at Tractor Supply right on Water Street. So be sure to tune in or go by and check them out. Also coming up at 11, the kickoff between UConn and Tennessee from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, in other sports, the bowling team traveled to Dyer County. The boys won 24-3, and the girls won 26-1. They will go to Bartlett to play Mumford on Tuesday, November 7th. High gains for the girls were Millie Brumley with a 221 and Caitlin Woodard with a 203. For the boys, Michael Spears bowled a 224. Haddon Dito, 218. Matthew Spears, a 206. And Wesson Heath, a 205. So congratulations, too, to Haddon Dito, who made a 7-10 split, which is the most difficult spare in bowling.
What's the likelihood you could do that, Steve?
Well, just keep knocking them down. You don't have a 7-10 split. So I don't even know what a 7-10 is. I'm assuming –
It's reading the two on the end.
I'm just reading stuff, man. The bowling teams will be in action, like I said, in Bartlett. They'll take on Mumford, and then they'll host Mumford at the Savannah Bowling Center. Hardin County basketball tips off on the 16th of November. Scotts Hill will be in town. The girls will tip it at 6 p.m., and the boys to follow. And, of course, you can catch all the action right here on 93.5 FM. SEC schedule, 11 a.m. games, Texas A&M at Ole Miss, Arkansas at Florida, Jacksonville State at South Carolina, 2:30, Missouri and Georgia, 3 p.m., Auburn and Vandy, 6:30, Kentucky and Mississippi State, 6:45, LSU and Alabama. And then, of course, our game coming up at 11, UConn at Tennessee. So Tennessee goes to Kentucky. You were there last week and got to see the Vols. Defeat the Wildcats.
Yeah, got to see a win over little brother. But I mean, I think the standard now is you expect to beat them every year, and you know there were times where I was a little bit nervous, but we pulled it out. Anytime you went on the road there, hostile environment, so it was a good road win. Just got to handle business today, and of course, I think one thing, an intriguing game today, I think, is going to be Arkansas and Florida. I think Arkansas's got the power to beat Florida, and I think LSU's got the power to beat Alabama, to be honest with you. I mean, you saw there at halftime, I was there, and Tennessee was feeling pretty good, but yeah. we didn't show up in the second half. Yeah, so
they forgot, and they thought they had that thing in the bag. Alabama, you know, is not the team that they have been, but that don't mean a whole lot when you're playing them at home. And when you go on the road in the SEC, it's tough anyway. It's a 3-7 point difference. Once you step on the field, I mean, you're kind of in the hole.
Well, and I mean, their quarterback for Kentucky last week, I mean, based off what the Kentucky fans up there were saying, is he's underperformed. I mean, they got him from NC State. He was a good quarterback at NC State. And then he's, you know, here through the first couple games, he's just kind of, you know, underwhelmed a lot of their fans. And, you know, it's unfortunate. We made him look pretty dang good last week.
That's a history of Tennessee football. Yeah. We make a lot of quarterbacks look good. But I will say this, the one thing that I did hear about him, they kind of changed their defense and opened their defense up a little bit more than to his style of play.
Right.
And so that always helps out. And,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that takes me back to like the last couple of games. What's weird, you and I were talking about it. Carter, he's got a great arm. He's known for throwing the football around, but last night he won it with his legs.
That's right. I think that's just – you know, yeah. Playoff football.
Yeah.
You know, it's based off what Coach Smith was saying off the air. He looked at him and was like, with it being a numbers game, you're going to have to pull it and run it. And, of course, that was a challenge accepted by Carter, as you saw last night. But, you know, it's no different with Tennessee football. I think with Joe, he's such a big guy that when push comes to shove, he's going to have to do something on his feet. I mean, yeah. And that, you know, over the past couple of weeks he has, and I think it's been a very positive thing for a whole entire offensive side of the football.
You think we see Nico?
I hope so.
Maybe we can get a big enough lead in second half.
I think it's needed. I mean, not that Joe played his best game last week. But it'd be some valuable experience, especially for Nico, just down the – because we got a tough slate of games coming up here to end our season, and we want Nico to be as comfortable as he can with based off experience. I know he's got the talent to do.
I think another game that they're talking about, Missouri and Georgia. Missouri undefeated. They're throwing it all over the lot. Georgia, the thing about Georgia is they seem to step up with the big games. They kind of lollygag through the season. And sometimes have to fight their way out of trouble. And then when it's the big game, they play a complete game. And they're at home. But we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw against South Carolina. I mean, there was a time I was like, they're about to upset Georgia. And then last week, you know, prime time against Florida, big rivalry game, and it wasn't even a game. This week's a little bit different. I you know, just seeing highlights of Missouri – they've got some weapons, and that their quarterback Cook's been playing really efficient. And we're in today's world, we go, or you know, each team goes as the quarterback goes, and if he keeps playing at a high level, who knows what could happen.
Exactly. Well, the Tigers get a big win last night, 29-22 in round one of the playoffs over White House. Marshall County will be in town next Friday night. Kickoff time 7 p.m. Airtime 6:30. We invite you to tune in to 93.5 FM or WKWXFM.com or the WKWX app, however it is you want to tune in Friday night. Support the Tigers, or better yet, come out to the game as the Tiger tailgate starts at 5 and the Tiger walk at 5:55. So that's what's ahead for Hardin County. Kendall, I appreciate you being here as always and stepping in for Kirk. Outstanding job.
And, next man up here at WKWX.
Next man up. That's right. And we're actually going to get out of here on time. So, anyway, I hope everyone has a great Saturday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. go out and enjoy yourself, watch a little football today, and be sure to tune in right here at 11 a.m. for UConn and Tennessee. Coming up, we'll head out to Prime House Steaks out at the Tractor Supply parking lot in Water Street for our remote there for an hour as Ashton is out there. For Clark over at the station, I want to thank Coach Matthew Smith for being here. For Kendall, I'm Steve Cornell saying so long, Tiger fans, and we'll see you next Saturday at 9 a.m. for Sports Talk, and go Vols.